Mezzo-soprano Stephanie Blythe is having an incredible season at the Metropolitan Opera, where she's performing three major roles in three very different styles. She's already appeared in Handel's Baroque opera Rodelinda opposite Renee Fleming, and this April she'll star as Fricka, Queen of the Gods, in a new production of Wagner's Ring Cycle. But right now, she's the scheming Princess Amneris in Verdi's Aida. New York Times opera critic Anthony Tomasini has raved, with each performance Stephanie Blythe gives, it becomes increasingly apparent that a once-in-a-generation opera singer has arrived. You only have two more opportunities left to see her in Aida before it closes. I'm delighted to be able to speak with Stephanie Blythe today. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much.
Is this the first time you've sung Amneris at the Met?
Yes, it is.
But you must have performed it many times.
Yes,
elsewhere.
I performed it first with Pittsburgh Opera and then again with Seattle Opera.
Is it very different doing it at the Met?
It's always different singing.
Well, I mean, it's a great opera house, but I always wondered, La Scala is a great opera house, but if you do the same role in La Scala and the Met, is the experience similar?
Well, I've never sung at Scala, so I couldn't tell you, but I can tell you that everywhere you sing is going to have a different kind of flavor, and the Met has a very, very big... robust flavor.
Because it has a distinctive personality.
Oh, sure. And it's a wonderful house to sing in. And any singer will tell you that. It doesn't feel like 4,000 at all. It can feel very, very intimate.
Well, this is your first Amneris, but you've done other Verdi roles at
yes,
the Met.
Yes.
Is there something about Verdi and the Met?
No, not particularly. I mean, about me and Verdi and the Met, or Verdi and the Met?
Well, does he have a special appeal to you? Because the roles he gives you are just seems to be so perfect for your voice.
The roles are quite wonderful, and I've enjoyed singing Azucena, and I've enjoyed singing Amneris and Quickly in Ulrika very much, but I'm not drawn to Verdi any more than I'm drawn to any other particular composer. I'm drawn to really, really wonderful work and beautiful opera.
Mm-hmm. Well, Aida is one of those.
Oh, yes, definitely.
It's a grand opera with an epic story set in ancient Egypt, and most productions feature enormous sets with huge statues of pharaohs, and some productions even have chariots and elephants.
Mm-hmm.
But at its heart, isn't this really something more intimate? It's a love triangle.
What I love about this piece, and specifically the way Verdi wrote it, was that it's a gigantic piece, and he never, ever lets you forget how huge the setting is. But the opera begins with a whisper, and it ends with a whisper. And he reminds you that you're in Egypt. He reminds you that this is a very, very, that the environs are just huge. But in the midst of all of that is this very intimate story. And the way he portrays this musically is, it's rhapsodic. It's just brilliant.
Well, I wondered while watching you with some of those arias, whether chills weren't going up and down your own spine.
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, I've often said that I wish that people could experience what it feels like to sing a Verdi opera, specifically a big Verdi chorus, because it's visceral. It just gets your blood pumping like nothing else. And I think that, you know, I do have to say that I take issue with describing Amneris as a villainess, however. I do not believe that she is scheming or a villainess. You didn't say villainess, but it is on the blurb online that she's a scheming
villainess.
And I took
the word out when I started writing something for me to write to describe
you.
Because I didn't see her as a villainess
either. No, and I don't see her as scheming either. I mean, there's no scheme there. What is this is a completely natural thing. The idea that this woman would end up with the most important soldier in Egypt would absolutely be a natural thing. And what's wonderful about Aida, especially the beginning, and what always fascinates me, is that overture suggests that there are so many scenes that have happened before we actually see the opera. It's marvelous. And who knows? Rodimus and Amneris may have known each other since they were children. It may always have been that they were supposed to be together. So I think that, you know, as a princess, for her to think that this was a done deal is certainly not out of the realm of imagination.
Well, since she is the pharaoh's, although it's called a king here, the daughter,
yes.
She's actually marrying slightly below
absolutely.
When she's marrying
absolutely.
This guy. And what is he interested in? Your slave girl.
Yes. And I think what's tragic, please forgive me because I always err on the side of telling a story from my character's point of view, but what's really tragic for Amneris is that the answer that she gets from Rodimus in the end is, I would rather die than be with you. I'd rather take that choice. I'd rather make that choice because you understand, he doesn't say, I'd rather go to my death with Aida. He has no idea that she's in that tomb waiting for him. Mm-hmm. He just thinks he's going to suffocate to death. And he'd rather do that than be with Amneris. And that's just tragic.
So this is the kind of thing that an actor thinks of. Is the acting what comes first for you?
It's all part and parcel. I mean, you have to imagine that some of this, if not all of it, went on in the mind of Verdi and in the librettist when this was being written. If you don't delve that deeply into it, then you're just not getting the full effect.
Well, you are also aided by the fact that he wrote this glorious music for you to sing.
Yes,
that actually
quite right.
Expresses emotions as well if you do it right.
Correct.
So you're learning the role. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about the character, mm-hmm. the psychology of the character, mm-hmm. at the same time thinking about how the music itself supports all of that.
Yes, and everything informs. It all informs each other, all of these things. It informs the singing informs the acting, the psychology. It's all important.
Has your interpretation of her changed the more you play her?
It hasn't changed. It's deepened. It's deepened. And I think that part of that has come simply with feeling more comfortable singing the role.
My guest is Stephanie Blythe, who is starring as Amneris in Verdi's Aida at the Metropolitan Opera. And even though the opera isn't called Amneris, Amneris is one of the three key characters.
He did play with calling it Amneris.
He did.
Yes.
Well,
he did.
I think you actually get to sing more than Aida.
No, right? I don't think so. I mean, because she gets two gigantic arias, and I don't get a single aria.
You get
I get a scene, but I don't get an aria.
You also get to sing in some very complicated situations,
yes.
Trios, and mm-hmm. Then with the chorus behind you
sure.
as well. And I worried about all of that trickiness. Is that something that has to be worked out? Like doing Howard Hawks type fast dialogue in His Girl Friday?
It's something that we should work out, yes. I think that a lot of that is managed by the music, fortunately.
People are amazed at how you slip so comfortably between all the different styles. Do they make very different demands?
Yes, they make different demands, but they're all answered with the same. They're all answered in the same way. You know, it's all about, for me, regardless of what kind of style I'm singing, I'm always using the same vocal technique and just adding a different style.
Well, Handel's Rodelinda has intense coloratura runs. Mm-hmm. Wagner's Fricka is fierce. And then you have these lustrous music from Verdi.
Yeah.
Handel probably is a little easier dramatically. But
I wouldn't say so at all. I think Handel's actually much more difficult dramatically because you are repeating a lot of music. You're repeating lines constantly. So if you have an aria and you have something to say and you're only given six lines to repeat in the entire aria, there's something that is not prescribed that you have to that you have to discover yourself, and you have to make clear to the audience yourself that every time you say that line, it has to mean something different. It has to grow, and you have to create an arc yourself. So not only in Baroque music are you creating, are you being creative by virtue of having to sing coloratura and then embellish it when you come back to sing it again. You have to find a way to do the same kind of embellishment in the emotion and the physical performance of it. So it's there's a lot more that you have to that the artist has got to invest.
Now, why are you repeating those same lines? Did Handel think of these arias as songs?
No, it's just that's the way that's the style of that was the style of the time.
Had you always wanted to have such a varied repertoire?
Yes.
And is something that you tackled from the beginning?
Yes. I knew very, very early on that I would want to, that I would reject the idea of being pigeonholed in a particular kind of Fach, because I knew that that wouldn't interest me. I knew that it would, not that it gets boring, but I enjoy switching things up. And it's very, very challenging. And I also think that a lot of that came because most of my formative training is in song repertoire, which is very, very varied. And I find informs me as an artist. And I'll tell you something. My verity is always better after I sing Handel or I sing Rossini. And vice versa. They all inform one another. So it's been very helpful for me.
It's almost like an actor going from a comedy to
sure.
a tragedy.
Absolutely.
And saying, well, you know, I got something from doing the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But you also do a fair amount of recitals. And
yes.
there you can sing the full range all in one evening.
Well, what's wonderful about recital is that you part of what you do as a recitalist is you put together something that's going to say something about something that's important to you. I've put together recitals, you know, for instance, after my mother's death 2 years ago, I wanted to say something about that. And so I did a recital that was all about love and death. And I was able to choose repertoire that spoke to what I needed to say about those two things. And I think that that's a wonderful outlet for an artist.
Some years back, I spoke to one of the great Italian tenors who talked about being afraid of tackling certain roles too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept on putting off Otello.
Sure.
And he never wound up doing it. But are there certain roles that you have to wait a while
to
do?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I actually waited quite there are several roles, bigger roles in my repertoire that I waited a long time to do because I felt like my voice simply needed to cook. I mean, what people don't understand is that the human body and the human voice does not mature fully until mid-30s.
Mm-hmm. It's so, unlike other...
It's unlike any other discipline.
Athletes are going into the decline in the mid-30s and opera singers are just
exactly.
hitting their peaks.
They're hitting their stride. You're hitting your stride in your 40s and your early 50s. And the thing is that the thing that's difficult, especially for young singers, is that they're constantly being told to wait. And it's one of the hardest things to do. Granted, there are people who had very, very big careers very, very early on in their lives. That doesn't tend to happen today because the pace of life is much faster and the art has evolved to meet that. So I think that, I was very fortunate that I have a fantastic teacher who really, really taught me to put the brakes on early.
Has that led you to turn down some roles?
Sure. And then I've come back to them later on.
You grew up in the Catskills, didn't
yes.
you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you come from a musical family?
Yes, my father is a retired jazz musician.
Uh-huh. But jazz is quite different. Did you feel some kind of connection to opera at a young age?
My mother listened to a lot of opera. But it wasn't something that I was specifically drawn to. To be honest, I was more drawn to musical theater. And all of this music, as I said, they all inform each other. And I mean, I hear my dad constantly in my head. I hear my dad practicing. I hear scales in my head all the time. My father's had an incredible technique, and that was a real inspiration to me as a kid.
Was that why you were in the Catskills? Because there was a lot of work for musicians
yes.
in the Borscht Belt.
If you wanted
in the old
to
days?
Be, if you wanted to be married and have a family and stay put and play jazz, that's what you did.
Now, you are winner of the Metropolitan Opera National Council auditions. Did you go there when you were still thinking of yourself as a possible Broadway singer?
No. At that point, I decided I was going to be an opera singer. But I had only been really at that point. I mean, I started my real training about 21 years of age. And I had just graduated from college and did the Met auditions and went to the Met. That was the first professional house I sang in.
And your big breakthrough was when you stood in for Marilyn Horne in Falstaff?
Yes.
Now, Peter Gelb, who is the director of the Met, says he worships the ground you walk on.
Well, that's very kind of him
nice
to say,
it's nice for your boss
it?
To think of you in
yes,
that way.
Yes, it's very sweet.
So I'm not surprised that you have two great Verdi roles ahead of you for next season, Ulrika, the fortune teller in Un ballo in maschera, which you've done before at the Met, haven't
yes.
you?
Yes.
A new production here?
Yes.
And Azucena, the mysterious gypsy in Il Trovatore.
Yes.
Have you ever done that role before?
I have. I've done it twice before. I did it at Covent Garden. And this particular production we do at the Met, I did in San Francisco. It was my debut in San Francisco.
No, we're talking about a lot of traditional opera. But I'm intrigued by the fact that you also do a lot of modern work, including John Corigliano.
Yes. I'm a big fan of John's.
So... this is a big problem for opera companies. For a long time, the big ones like the Met even resisted doing new works. Peter Gelb has changed that to some degree.
Oh, yes.
But do you worry that opera audiences just want to come out for the big ones, the Puccinis, the Verdis?
No, I don't, because I think that opera audiences are very intelligent and inquisitive people. And I think that this music is that they're drawn to this as well.
Stephanie Blythe is starring as Amneris in Verdi's Aida at the Metropolitan Opera. And there are two more performances, Tuesday, February 28th, and then Saturday, March 3rd. For ticket information, go to our show page at WNYC.org. And then when do you start working on the Wagner?
Pardon?
When do you start working on the Wagner? Are you rehearsing while you're performing?
No. We start working on on the 15th of March. We get back to the ring.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.